Before reflecting on today's feast and scriptures, I'd like to remind you that since it's Memorial Day weekend, part of our experience as a church this week ought to be to remember. And Memorial Day is about remembering those who have died. Historically, it's a feast to remember those who died serving the country in battle, you know, protecting our country. It's a military kind of thing. But I think that all of us see this as a day where we remember those who are members of our family, among our friends who have died. And it's important for us to be grateful, because each one of those persons who's loved us is part of God's way of loving us. And the appropriate response is gratitude and prayer. So please don't let this weekend pass without remembering your beloved dead in your prayers. Today is the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is Latin, which means the body of Christ. There is a town in Texas called Corpus Christi, Texas. I wonder how many people there understand what their city's name means. I wonder how many people in San Francisco realize that the city is St. Francis. And Los Angeles is the city of Mary, Queen of the Angels. So there's a lot of Christian history in the naming of our cities in the United States, especially the Spanish missions. Now, we know that on Holy Thursday, during Holy Week, the church celebrates a mass commemorating Jesus' Last Supper. And one of the things we need to think about as we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi is, what is the difference between that celebration and what the church is asking us to celebrate today? Well, Holy Thursday is a celebration of the Mass, whereas the Feast of Corpus Christi is a celebration of what happens at Mass. Now, let me try to explain the difference. You know, we believe that when we celebrate Mass together like we're doing today, Jesus comes to our community and with us offers himself to the Father, as he did when he died for us on the cross. And so Mass isn't just receiving the body of Christ, it's also entering into that mystery of Jesus offering himself to the Father, and you and I are invited to give ourselves with Jesus to the Father. And so what we celebrate on Holy Thursday is that action of Jesus of giving himself and our participation in it. You know, every time we celebrate Mass, we refer to Mass as the unbloody sacrifice of the cross. You know, the sacrifice is self-giving. And Jesus once again gives himself to the Father with us today. And that's very, very important for us to do. Not just to think we come to Mass to receive Holy Communion, although that's an integral part of the Mass. The Feast of Corpus Christi, which we celebrate today, focuses on what happens during Mass. We know that Jesus, that first Mass, took bread and wine and, offering to the Father, said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And the Catholic Church believes that through that action of Jesus, which takes place every time we celebrate Mass today, the bread is transformed into his body and the wine is transformed into his blood. Theologically, that's referred to as the mystery of the transubstantiation. It's a big word, which means that the substance of that bread is changed. It's no longer bread, it's the body of Christ. And the wine is no longer wine, it's the blood of Christ. The substance is changed, even though the appearances are the same. It looks like bread, it looks like wine, it tastes like bread, it smells like wine, but it truly is the body and blood of Christ. And that's what we're celebrating on this Feast of Corpus Christi, the reality of that mystery. So we've referred to it as the Feast of the Real Presence. But that can even be confusing, because we believe that Jesus is really present in all kinds of ways, right? Like, he's present when we pray. He's really present when we receive the sacrament of confession. He's really present in the love for our neighbors. But when we say the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, we mean that the bread is really him, and the wine is transformed into his blood. It's really him. And that's what we celebrate on this feast of Corpus Christi. Now let's look at today's scripture readings to try to understand how they help us to understand the mystery of this feast. The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis. And in this reading, we meet a character that we only meet one time, the king priest of Salem. Now what happened here is that Abraham has a nephew whose name is Lot, and there's a battle that goes on, and in the course of the battle, Lot and his family are taken captive by a warring king. And Abraham gets his friends together, and they go and attack the king, and they get Lot back. And when they get him back, they come to this town, Salem, and out of the city comes this king priest. He's a priest and king at the same time, and offers Abraham and his family what? Bread and wine. And when here there's the prayer that he prayed when Melchizedek offered this bread and wine. Now the church, looking back at this moment through the eyes of faith, saw in Melchizedek an image of Jesus, who is both a priest and a king, and who offers in the Eucharist the gifts of bread and wine as the sacrifice to the Father. And so he's seen as an image of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Melchizedek is also mentioned in Psalm 110, which was our responsorial psalm today. And the verse in that psalm that I'm referring to is the one that reads, "The Lord has sworn and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, the order of Melchizedek is the style of Melchizedek being a priest, which is a priest who offered bread and wine. Again, a reference from the Christian perspective of what we celebrate in the Mass today. So that's the reason that reading was selected as our first reading on today's feast. The second reading today, from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, is a reminder to us that the Eucharist, which we celebrate every Sunday, is something that's been done in the church from the earliest days. Now, this letter from St. Paul to the church in Corinth is one of the earliest writings of the church. And St. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you." The word "hand on" is tradeo, from which we get the English word tradition. And so St. Paul is talking about the earliest practice or tradition of the church, and that then he goes on to talk about Jesus taking bread and taking wine and saying, "This is my body and this is my blood." And then to the end he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again." The unbloody sacrifice of the Mass. Every time we celebrate it, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again. So that's the reason why we have the second reading. Then I'd like to go to the gospel for just the last line of the gospel, because this is it's a very important part of our tradition in the Catholic community. You know, it's the story of Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish. And at the end of the story, there's two different occasions in the Gospels where Jesus does this. And it says, at the end of the passage, it says, "They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." Now, the reason this is an important phrase is because I want to talk about the leftovers of the Eucharist. There were 12 baskets of leftovers in this miracle. And I'd like to talk over but the leftovers of our Eucharistic celebration. And this is referred to as Eucharistic affection, the affection of the church towards the Eucharist. In the earliest days of the church, what happened when there was bread transformed into the body of Christ left over at the end of Mass? What did they do with it? Well, they created containers, which we now call tabernacles, in which the Eucharist that was left over from the Mass was saved. And this Eucharist was shared with people who were sick and at home, or people who were dying. You know, to be a Christian, you wanted to receive the Lord in the Eucharist when you were dying. It was called viaticum, which would be translated as something given on the way to eternal life. And so in the earliest days of the church, they took the leftovers of the Eucharist and shared them with the sick and preserved them in tabernacles. We still do that today, right? Every parish has communion calls to the elderly and the sick, where they take the Eucharist that we share at Mass to the homes of those who are unable to attend Mass. And it was the custom, I think it still is in some families, but not so much today, that if somebody in your family was dying, you would call the priest to come and anoint the person who was dying, but also to bring them Holy Communion. And I hope you still do that. I mean, if you have sick relatives and friends, I hope you let the church know about that so that the church can minister the Eucharist to the sick and to the elderly. That's a very important part of our life and tradition. But as time went on, the church also used the leftover bread that became the body of Christ for devotion, a Eucharistic affection. We refer to that today as benediction. How many of you know what benediction is? Show your hands, please. Some people don't. How do I explain benediction? Well, benediction is the devotion of the church outside of Mass. And what happens is we take part of the Eucharist and we put it in what's called a monstrance, which is a great big gold frame, and place it in the center of the altar, and people come and they pray in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And this is the devotion that touches the hearts of people, really. It touches them emotionally. It gives them a chance to be in the presence of Jesus, who has come to us in the Eucharist and who loves us. It's an opportunity for us to show our affection and our love for the Lord. There are devotions associated with that, like 40 hours, which is 40 hours of continuous prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, with a great devotion of our Philadelphia saint, St. John Newman. And many of our churches have Eucharistic chapels where people go 24 hours a day and can pray before the Lord who is present to them in the Blessed Sacrament. So I would encourage you to go to benediction and see what it's like if you've never done that before. And if you do, I think you'll find it's something that touches your heart as well as your mind. Other things we celebrate with the Eucharist are processions. One of the customs on the Feast of Corpus Christi, Father Gill told me they did that this morning here at the cathedral, is to have a procession where the Lord leads us, the Lord in the Eucharist leads us in the procession. It's symbolic of us following him wherever he leads, and also publicly to profess our faith to the world around us. I'm sure people standing outside the church were wondering what's going on with those Catholics today when they had the Eucharistic procession. It's a way for us to tell the world what we believe about the Eucharist, it being truly the body and blood of Christ. It's a public testimony to our faith. Now, to get more specific about our celebration here in the cathedral this evening. Now, we have the custom as Catholics when we come into church to acknowledge Jesus' real presence here. I talked about tabernacles that were built to hold what was left over from the Eucharistic celebration. Well, we have one right here in the center of the sanctuary, up of that high platform there. The golden box is called a tabernacle. It's the place where the Eucharistic Lord is placed, where the Lord dwells. And our custom when we come to church is to acknowledge his presence by genuflecting. You know what the genuflect means? It means the Latin word that means you bend your knee. So we need to learn to do that with reverence. We're not just doing that out of a habit. we're acknowledging the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So when we come into church, try to mean what you're doing. You know, we talk with our words, but we also talk with our bodies. And to genuflect, which means to bend the knee, like that, to the Lord present in the Eucharist is a sign of our submission in love and reverence to the Lord. It's a custom in the Catholic Church not to talk a lot before Mass, and to have a kind of a reverential silence so people can prepare to pray, right? But it's also an acknowledgement that Jesus is uniquely present here in this building in the Eucharist, and not to pay so much attention to one another that we ignore him. That's the reason why we are silent in church. And after Mass, we should have a reverential silence. You can certainly talk in a low voice as long as you don't distract people who want to pray before the Lord in the tabernacle. And also, we have the custom traditionally in the church to visit the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, you know, to stop by during the day, not just on Sundays, but when we're ever passing by a church, in order to, we used to refer to it as pay a visit to the Lord. Again, the practice deepens our faith in what we really believe about the Eucharist. So I would encourage you to visit the Blessed Sacrament very often. And then finally, I'd like to talk about receiving Holy Communion. You know, we do receive the Lord when we receive Holy Communion. It truly is his body and his blood. And it's the teaching of the church that we shouldn't do that if we're in a state of serious sin. That we commit a sacrilege if we receive the Lord when we are not in good relationship with him. For example, if we commit a very serious sin and we don't go to confession, we shouldn't receive the Eucharist until we go to confession. And that's really important. It's a sign of the deepest sign of our reverence for the Lord, that we don't receive him unworthily, although we are always unworthy. But in the sense that, you know, if we have serious sin, we need to reconcile ourselves to the Lord by going to confession. And then when we come to communion, like we will be doing this evening, we have a Eucharistic procession to receive the Lord. So coming up to receive the Lord shouldn't be a time where you greet all your neighbors in the aisle on the way, pat them on the back, say, "How are you, George?" Because this isn't about George, it's about the Lord, right? And when we come to receive the Lord, the church invites us to show a sign of reverence before we receive. And what the church asks us to do is to bow as a sign of reverence to the Lord. So that bowing to the Lord is not bowing to the priest or the minister of Holy Communion, it's bowing to the Lord who we are about to receive. The Eucharistic minister will say, holding the body of Christ, the body of Christ, and our answer is, "Amen," which means, "I believe." It isn't, "Thank you, Father," because it's not Father giving you something, it's Jesus giving you himself. And so we don't say thank you, because we're not supposed to be talking about the priest, we're supposed to be talking about Jesus, and not talking about him, but talking to him at that time. And we can receive either in our hands or on our tongue. You know, both are equally reverent. People say, "Well, I don't want to receive with my hands because I sin with my hands." Well, I think most of us sin with our mouths more than we sin with our hands. So if it's about whether you're worthy or not, you know, you probably wouldn't receive at all, right? But so either way is acceptable to the church. You should do whatever you find leads you to the deepest kind of prayer. But I would ask you, if you're going to receive the Lord on your tongue, make sure you do that. I mean, it's really very difficult to give Holy Communion on the tongue because people don't do it right. I mean, they open their mouth, but they don't put out their tongue. I mean, they do all the, this is, people laugh when I say this, but it's all the time. People go, and it's important that you don't bite the priest's fingers. You're not supposed to be nipping at him as he's giving you the Lord. You're supposed to put out your tongue and wait till the Lord, the minister of the Eucharist, places the Lord's body on your tongue, and then you close your mouth, you know. So please focus on that. Don't be self-conscious, but try your very best to receive the Lord in a worthy kind of way that acknowledges his real presence. And when you receive in your hands, the tradition is to make your hand like, you know, they say like a throne for the Lord. Your palm should be flat, and it should be received in the hand that you don't use. If you're right-handed, you receive the Lord in your left hand so you can reach around, take the body of Christ, and place it in your own mouth. Many people just kind of go like this, you know, and it's really very difficult to know where to put the Lord without dropping the Lord on the ground. So these things may sound like they're minor issues, but they're really not. They can make or break the reverence of a communion procession. So this part of our life, once again, is called Eucharistic affection or devotion. It's a way of showing our love. And love is a result of faith. We really do believe that this is Jesus, the Savior of the world, who suffered and died for us on the cross, and now wants to give us a share in his life by giving us his body and his blood. This is an extraordinarily important moment. And it's very important that all of us together lead one another to a deep kind of faith by acting reverently in church at all times, but especially during the Mass and especially when receiving the Holy Eucharist in Holy Communion. So today is the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ. The church proclaims loudly and clearly what we truly believe. And we ask the Lord to give us deep faith.